Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, in 2017, digital disruption surrounds us. What if I told you that as a result, the customer was no longer king, but the customer was actually, according to my next guest, queen? Dushyant Sukhijo, he's the author of The Cisco Way, Leadership Lessons Learned from One of the World's Greatest Technology Services Companies. Dushyant, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry, for having me on the show.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
So why do you say that the customer is no longer king, but the customer now is really queen?
I want to draw the people's attention to the notion of the queen bee, where everything revolves around the queen bee, if you will, in a community of bees. And that's the same concept I think we ought to be thinking about when we're thinking about our customers, regardless of what business we are in, is to bring our business to focus on the customer, period. That's the only way to drive success, especially as we look at the new digital era, which is all about customers and services. This is going to get even more important.
So does that mean that the customer is the queen bee?
That is exactly right, and that's how we ought to be treating customers drive profitability in our business.
You know, and we've seen a lot of disruptions because customers really want a customized and engaging experience, right? I think ever since Burger King said you could have it your way, everybody wants it exactly the way they want it when they want it, right?
And you bring a point that is extremely critical, and that's one of the notions I've described in my book. It is, how do you engage your customers in the process of defining what services you will offer, in the process of defining what products you will lead to? Because once you do that, you build loyalty that is bar none. And that is extremely critical, especially if you want to become a player in the new digital economy, is to engage the customers, both in the process of defining your own products and strategies, but also engage in their success every step of the way.
And so, Dushyant, how do you do that? Because it's always a balance, it seems to me, for small business owners where, you know, I decide what I want to provide, what pain I'm going to solve, who I'm provided to, and then the customers come along and say, yeah, I kind of like that, but I want it a little bit differently. And if you're everything to everybody, you can't have a small business, but at the same time, you have to engage and serve them. How do you actually compete in this kind of digital disruption?
So there are a couple of points here that are, I think, relevant. First of all, you're not going to succeed by becoming everything to everybody. So you have to pick your customer niche very carefully, understand your customer very carefully, and then build your products that meets the requirements of 80% of your customers. And then the other bit is you've got to be nimble and flexible to adapt to them as they change in their buying patterns and their customer experience requirements. Because at the end of the day, especially in the new digital disruption, what fundamentally matters is customer experience. If they don't get it right the first time, they're going to move on, and they'll never come back.
Dushyant, do you believe in the old adage that the customer is always right, or that the customer is always the customer?
The customer is always the customer, because oftentimes they might have certain requirements that might not be relevant to other segments of your business. And at that point, you have to decide whether you service those requirements and maybe lose a bigger segment of your other business or draw upon a common set of requirements that allows you to tap into a broader market.
And so how do you actually make that decision? Because I think for a lot of small business owners, especially ones just starting out, they're tempted to be anything to everybody. They want to customize the experience. They want to gauge the experience. They want to gauge the customer. But then they really haven't built a business. They've just built a hodgepodge of services.
So, yes, that's right. And so I think the key is there, I think, five strengths, if I were to label them, to succeed in the new digital economy. Let me kind of lay them out for you. The five winning strategies, I think, is first around people. The three key elements here, affordability, scalability, and people clustering. So understanding just how much investment you want to make in your people strategy. The second is the whole notion of shift left for profits, which means even for small businesses, tapping into other nearshore, offshore countries where you can move certain global back office functions and leverage and tap into lower cost structures. The third is to drive repeatability and delivery efficiency. So being very careful to pick the right set of components that you're going to offer in your services or products and building repeatability and delivery efficiency into them is going to get you to become profitable much sooner. Fourth is to find, grow, and keep partners to scale. This is very key in the new digital era, especially as companies look to move forward. It is all going to be about how much you can collaborate and buy, if you will, services that are already available from a plethora of partners instead of trying to build it all yourself. This allows people to become nimble, focus on what is most important to their customers, and also what is truly, you know, their core competency. And lastly, to drive operational excellence, monitor and track your progress in enabling business outcomes for your customers. It's not about technology solutions. It is about business outcomes. So it's critical to identify, measure, track, and continuously optimize the business metrics to track your business performance, especially when it comes to understanding what business outcomes you're driving for your customers, whether small or large.
You know, Deshaun, I think your idea that collaboration is really important, and if you're going to succeed, you can't build each piece on your own. There's a lot of small business owners out there that actually use, you know, Amazon's digital store to sell stuff online. You can use various components, right? You don't have to build. In fact,
exactly.
You shouldn't build it all yourself.
That's precisely the model that's going to help people succeed in this new digital economy, is not trying to do the whole, let me call it the end-to-end value chain on your own, but really tapping into the ecosystem of partners who've already focused on certain competencies that you can leverage.
Right. It's kind of like using Uber to deliver your products. You don't have to have a delivery right. service. You can just use Uber for that part.
As a matter of fact, you know, you will be surprised, but Uber actually has launched a new service, which is leveraging off their transportation focus now to move food across large cities like London and Singapore and even Melbourne. And that's an example of where they're already established. They're already there with a brand name, with a image that people trust and have learned to use more and more, especially in the larger cities. And why would you want to go and build that same capability if you can leverage what they've got to offer?
And why would you want to drive in those cities?
Exactly.
That's for sure. So, Deshaun, the title of the book is called The Cisco Way, Leadership Lessons Learned from One of the World's Greatest Technology Service Companies. With the couple minutes we have left, tell us about one of the greatest leadership lessons you learned as being an executive at Cisco.
So I think one of the biggest pieces that Cisco has demonstrated over the years as being nimble and understanding market inflections and then being able to navigate them to lead through them. So let me give you an example of what faced Cisco, for example, in 2005 and how they mastered a major industry transition and emerged as the number one player in the market. At a time when the developed economies were slowing down dramatically, Cisco saw the potential in what they called the emerging markets. Emerging markets then covered all of Latin America, Central and Eastern Europe, Africa, the Middle East, and Russia. 132 countries over 31 square miles, comprising 61% of the total landmass of the Earth, with a combined GDP of over $5 trillion. This is where it gets really exciting. Three major shifts occurred during that time frame. The emerging markets produced more than 50% of the world's output. They accounted for more than 50% of the global GDP increase, and were forecast to grow between 5 and 9% annually for the next 3 years. 32 of the biggest emerging economies grew for the first time in those last 2 years. Cisco saw this transition coming, recognized that they had to do something differently to basically work through a much more challenging growth scenario that was all over the developed world. Retooled the whole company, set up new organizational structures, put in new investments in technology to go after that market and win. Win, they did. They created...
Dushyant, I got to interrupt you there because we're out of time for this segment. If you want more information and you want Dushyant to finish that story, buy the book, The Cisco Way, Leadership Lessons from One of the World's Greatest Technology Services, or go to his website, www.dushyantsukhija.com. We'll be right back.